As you're aware, the governor recently signed SB 673, so it's going to be effective January 1. So we've been working hard on planning for implementation and making sure that we're in compliance and that we're getting set up as a new employer, deciding which tax ID we're going to use, all those wonderful things. So we're working very hard on that. We have our internal remodel that we're working on because we're going to be hiring a number of folks, knock on wood, soon. So we'll actually have space for them to do their work in. But that's going pretty well. Tim and his staff has been working in our back training room, so they're very excited, I'm sure, to get back into their new space.
You're going to get a new home?
We're going to get a new home. Good.
So those are some of the main areas we're working on right now.
I have some questions.
Yes.
Are we the only 1937 Act county that's on its own now? Are others still associated with their...
Well, okay. There's one other, San Bernardino.
Okay.
They phased it in, though. They started with managers and executives, and then a few years after that, they did everyone.
Okay.
And then OSERS is still just management and executives.
And then, Tim, when is the RFP response time end on the consultants?
So we issued it on Monday. It is due back on October 6th.
Oh, okay. So, thank you.
San Diego County is interested in doing what we have done.
Mm-hmm.
I've had several trustees from there say, how did you do it? Will you let us know? They even wanted to curtail on ours.
Right.
And we said, well, I brought that up a while back, and we said, no, that's not, you got to do your own thing.
Did they offer to pay
at the Stanford conference.
So that's another county that possibly will be going.
Well, I was just curious, because I know there's a lot of administrative work to setting up all those things, and if somebody else had already invented the wheel, but we get to be the wheel inventor.
You're going to be in demand.
And we actually, Karen Levy and I recently met with Julie Wine, who's the administrator with Sonoma County, who was previously legal counsel with OSERS, when they did their change to carving out managers and executives. So we've spoken with her, and...
And Harvey also was involved in that process for OSERS, so we're lucky we have him here, too.
For many reasons.
Of course.
We're actually doing something similar now on the ballot in San Jose for the two city of San Jose pension funds.
Measure
G is now on the ballot. It has no opposition, and it's going to transfer control of the senior staff of the city pension fund away from the city manager to the pension boards for the first time.
Mm.
The mayor has endorsed it. There's no opposition. The labor is on board, and I'm very proud of that going forward as well.
Okay. Anything else, Gail, from you?
I don't think so.
Okay. Kurt, anything?
Nope.
Karen?
Nothing here.
Vicki?
Let's see, we are working on our clothes. We've been working on GASB 67. We have a person who's now putting it in design so that the pre-submission for our next GASB meeting we have the dry run already for the 67 aspect of the new standards. So we need a couple weeks on that, and we are still just working along with our software upgrade.
Christine, anything? Any building reports to do? Tim, anything?
A couple quick items. Had the on-site with Adam Street in the Menlo Park office last week. Kelly Meldrum and Bob French and Gary Fencer were there. Kelly's stepping up, taking a more senior leadership role in the firm following Hanukkah's departure later this year. Very positive meeting. John was there, Gabe was there, Chi-Chi joined us, and Marty was there, and Gail joined us. So I'll let the trustees opine on that, but I felt it was the firm was following a prudent course of action and transferring duties, staggered over a period of time. We put them on watch because there was unanswered questions. All of our questions were answered at the onset. As I mentioned, the consultant RFP was issued on Monday. We're going to be working with Cortex over the next month. They handle Q&A's addendum and get everything back in October. That was passed through all the members of the consultant search committee, so thank you, everybody, for your comments on that. And the last thing is DBL has asked if we have would like to express a level of interest in their Fund 3. So run that past the board.
Okay.
Hearing no
comments.
Outside professionals, Harvey?
I have one unique quiet period request of the board, and that has to do with our independence under SB 673. You probably know that the whole area of labor relations is a very sensitive and arcane field. It's not one that I'm particularly familiar with because I don't do labor negotiations in the public sector. But going forward, I know they're going to, until January 1st, there are going to be a lot of questions and relations with our employees, and they're going to have questions about what are you expecting, what are you doing, that sort of thing. We need to be very careful in the context of labor negotiations. Anything, you know, statements that people make to labor representatives, for example, can lead to all kinds of charges, misunderstanding. Anything could possibly come up in the labor context. So I just want to caution, and this is one of the reasons why I think it's really important that we move forward with the RFP for labor negotiation and labor council, because you need advice and staff needs advice on how to handle these kind of things and what can be said and what can't be said and what needs to be bargained at the table and what shouldn't be bargained at the table. Madam Supervisor probably knows this better than anyone here. And so I just want to urge, until we can get expert counsel on labor issues, now that we're going to become an employer under the Myers-Milius-Brown Act for all purposes, I just want to encourage everybody to sort of stand down and not participate in conversations with labor representatives. We don't want to misstep. We want to start off arm in arm in a good relationship with and with good guidance from professional counseling. And so that's just my comment on that, is to sensitize everybody to the fact that we are now, for the first time, becoming an employer in the bargaining context, and we need to be careful and get it properly advised on that subject.
How many bargaining units do we have?
There are really two. AFSCME has the bulk of the representative employees, and I think there's, one or two positions?
Local 21 and AFSCME, Local 2700.
Yeah, Local 21 has one or two positions.
AFSCME and 2700.
AFSCME has 30-some-odd represented positions. So I think those are the two units.
Okay. I think I can probably speak for the board with regards to, I had a discussion with Gail, and there is some unrest with regards to staff, among staff, because any changes, you know, changes raises anxiety. I think I can speak for the board that there's not going to be any immediate changes with regards to any policies or anything else. Other than, you know, we take over on January 1, we expect everybody at their desks at 8 a.m. on January 1. You know, other than that, it shouldn't be any changes.
Well, and if I think once we get our labor people on board, they can advise us, because, as you know, the county has negotiated with AFSCME 2700 through June 30th of 2016, and with Local 21 through June 30th of 2015. And so one of my first questions will be, do those stay in place? And our labor organizations may come to us and ask for changes. So right now we're at least covered, and I would think that would carry us through until a subsequent MOU is either put in place sooner than those expiration dates, or the board determines to keep them in place until their current expiration dates. This board.
Okay.
Reinforce, if I could, just I've been involved in some discussions in my past life, but not directly, and that's a key point. There's a reference in Gail's letter about making a proposal, and it not to have it taken too literally, and I think it underscores what Harvey said. It says that the board has an obligation to meet and confer. That could be read by some people as a meet and confer by this entire board with labor groups. I don't see that at all, and I think that would not be productive. So I think that kind of reinforces certainly what I think Harvey is suggesting. My feeling is that at some point we're going to come up with the protocol as to how we're having those meet and confer meetings. But in my mind, it's not with this entire board.
Right.
And so I don't think that that letter should be taken quite that, the reference quite that literally.
And if I could just offer my what I do. You're right. Our Board of Supervisors as an employer does not bargain itself. That's why you hire the labor relations and let them do that. However, there is an expectation by labor representatives that they can come and meet with each of us individually. And we're very aware we do not bargain during those meetings. They're just informational and dialogue meetings. There's no, and you're right, we'll have to take that up. But it's not a fine line. I find it a very easy line to figure out to be on this side or that side. But I would not be surprised in the future if some of our labor organizations asked to meet with each of us individually. And as long as we understand that we're not in a bargaining role, but we're in a conversational role, you know, they want to come and advocate for their position. Fine. That's all fine and dandy. You're protected because you're not engaging in unfair labor practices by allowing that. But that's a discussion for another time. But I wanted to assure you, you know.
And we may want to have a special meeting with labor council once they're on board to get some of the protocols, if you will, about what we can do and can't do. I can't advise you on that, and I don't want you to go off on individual thoughts about it. I think you need expert advice on that.
I think there's another issue in regards to doing that, and I'm really in favor of doing that because I think status quo needs to be defined.
Yeah, good point.
Before they enter in any conversations.
Okay. Trustee comment. John.
In follow-up to the Adam Street session that Gabe and I, together with Tim and Gigi, Gail went through. I think we came out of that very comfortable that we could eliminate the watch status for Adam Street. I apologize, I forgot to bring my notes with me, but it was an impressive group, and the just for the background of the board, the reason that they went on watch was that their identified CIO, I'm not sure they were all that comfortable in our discussion with the CIO designation, and they don't have a specific person succeeding her directly as CIO, but the woman who is stepping in as a lead here in Menlo Park, advisor to the programs that we're in, gave a fair amount of presentation to us, was impressive. They clearly seem to have their act in order in terms of replacing the woman who is resigning as of the end of the year. So with that, let me make a motion to eliminate or remove the watch category or stature.
We just need to agendize
it.
We can put it on.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We can put it on the next meeting, the investment meeting. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Kelly is pretty impressive.
Yes.
Yes.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I like the answer to everything. They're very calm and just real upfront.
Yeah.
Good.
The whole Adam Street, by the way, I don't know if anyone else happened to see this. I just stumbled onto it. I take Fortune and was sort of thumbing through my most recent Fortune. The whole group we spent half a day with in Menlo Park at the beginning of the week is about the third lead article in Fortune in their current issue. Very favorable. Pardon?
I thought it was just that Fensig gentleman was mentioned because he did the Sports Illustrated article and Fortune.
This is Fortune, and Gary had probably a higher profile, but Bond was also included in it. And it wasn't. They either know somebody at Fortune or they're doing a great job.
Probably both.
Gary's profiled as one of the people from NFL that had a successful career after the NFL.
I remember him, okay.
Great guy.
Yeah.
Are we investing in Apple so we can get on the watch in the six?
The watch
list. There you go.
That's a different watch list.
Different watch list.
Any other trustee comments?
Yeah, I signed up to go to New York Torchlight. I'm not going to be able to go, so there's an opening there if somebody wants to go to.
Yeah, and I'm not going either, so.
When is that?
Where?
October
13th. You got to fly in on the night of the 13th, and it's the 14th and the 15th.
I don't know that you necessarily want to. We may not be able to do this, but in October, that's usually sometime opening session of United Nations.
Oh,
seriously,
that weekend.
Disaster time
ridiculous,
to be
yeah.
in New York, and the room rates are about $800 a night. Yeah.
I had her check for government. It's about $500.
Well,
oh, you know,
that's the no-tell motel.
Because I was going to go the night before and pay my own.
That's a place that charges by the hour.
You don't want to be there.
You don't want to be there.
I have found cheaper than $500, so I'm actually going, but not as part. I'm going to a different place than where the conference is to minimize the cost.
I'm just saying it's real tough because everyone is going by. There are more limos in and blocked off streets. It's brutal. That if it's the same time of the year.
Just so the trustees are aware, next week we're going to talk to a couple of managers. Depending on the results of the outcome, we may try and bundle on sites with prospective funds with that conference in New York. So it might be a couple of days together.
Okay.
We'll know next week. We've got the dates
blocked. Motor.
Okay, no other comments? Why don't we take a break? Lunch is probably here. We can bring it back out. Harvey can give Harvey a few minutes to eat.
It's a pretty good eat out here. And